Today is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Scripture lessons are from Psalm 5, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 17. Today's message is titled, Christ's Righteousness in Us. Here from the Old Testament Scripture, Psalm 5. For the director of music, for flutes, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence will I bow down towards your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as a shield. Here ends the psalm. The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them, but Jesus called the children to him and said, Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. The gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus tells a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To understand the depth of this parable, need to start at the beginning with the parable. To whom the parable is told. To whom the parable is told. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. To some who were confident, that is, trusting in themselves, that is, fully persuaded they were righteous, which means approved by God. They were completely confident that they alone were approved of God. And as such, they separated themselves from others, despising and having utter contempt for all others. Puffed up popinjays, so full of themselves, strutting about as righteous, with contemptuous sneers for all others. That's who the parable's told to. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Okay, both were going to pray. However, their deportment along with their prayers were exceedingly unlike. First man, a Pharisee, the other man, a tax collector. Being a Pharisee, honorable, highly respected position, highly respected profession, but a tax collector. Being a tax collector is the exact opposite. Jesus could not have chosen two more divergent individuals in his parable. Tax collectors, of which Matthew was, also known as Levi. Matthew was when Jesus came up to his tax collector booth saying, "Follow me." Tax collectors, they were considered traitors to their own people, the people of Israel. They were working for Rome, collecting the tax. Hated, they were treated as outcasts, for they were working with Rome. So it made them the lowest of the low. The tax collectors in his duties embodied the foreign domination by Rome over Israel. Oftentimes overcharging and pocketing the nice sum of the difference. Tax collectors quickly became very wealthy and very inquisitorial in their methods. It gave them great power over the people, over their fellow Israelites in the name of Rome. They had great power over them. Rabbinical writings of the time would oftentimes write tax collectors were robbers. The manner in the gospel, it is often written tax collectors and sinners. And oftentimes it was asked, why does Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners? I mean, tax collectors were so sinful, they deserved their own category of sinners. Tax collectors and sinners. Remember the times people would come up to Jesus contemptuously saying, "He welcomes tax collectors and sinners." These expressed the attitude that was prevalent with regards to tax collectors. Two very different men in Jesus' parable. Two very vastly different prayers. Luke 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, and probably with a loud, boisterous voice to call as much attention to himself as he could. "God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Not like other men at all. Evildoers, robbers, sinners, or even like that tax collector." Can you see him standing up doing that? And everybody's eyes were turning to him and nodding in agreement. I mean, I'm not like them. Do it in such a manner. Look at me. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. Himself, all about himself. And then lists what he does not do. And what he does do, just to prove how worthy he is. And isn't God just blessed that this Pharisee took the time to step into God's house and pray to God all about himself? Thank you, God, that I'm not like the rest of men. Robbers, the unjust, the adulterers. Then looking over his shoulders, even that tax collectors. 2 times a week I fast. And I tithe on all things. Aren't you so proud of me? Look at me. Definitely a popinjay strutting about full of himself. Then Jesus sets forth the contrast, beginning with a conjunction that sets up the contrast from what came before. This is the Pharisee at the temple. Look at me! And this is the tax collector at the temple. Luke chapter 18, verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So the tax collector came to the temple, stands far off, maybe hiding in a corner, doesn't want him to be the center of the attention because he's strictly there. I mean, he's not even going to look up and say, God, look at me. He bends down and just beats his chest in agony. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. What a contrast between the two. What a contrast. Jesus has set forth, stood far off, not willing to even look up to heaven, not willing to look his eyes up, striking his breast, an expression of great agony, and crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes. But it really is, if you pull it from the Greek, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. It's a definite article there. Not simply a sinner, one amongst many. No, the sinner. Have mercy on me, the sinner. Yes, the sinner. A definite article expressing he is the sinner. The sinner crying out for mercy. The Greek word translated as have mercy means be propitious or make propitiation for. And then using the word helps to better understand. The Greek word properly means to extend propitiation, which is showing mercy by satisfying, literally propitiating the wrath of God on sin. This Greek verb, hilaskomahi, is akin to the Greek noun hilasomas. Hilasomas. Hilasomas is only used, this noun is only used 2 times in the New Testament, both times of Christ's atoning blood that appeases God's wrath on all confessed sin. By the sacrifice himself, Jesus Christ provided the ultimate propitiation. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. A little later, 1 John chapter 4 now, verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Compare the two now. The Pharisee's prayer is all about himself, proving to God that he is better than all others, so only he, the Pharisee, is worthy. On the other hand, the tax collector is begging for exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ will provide: propitiation for sin. Let that sink in. The tax collector is begging, crying out for exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ will provide: propitiation for sin. The lesson from the parable, Luke chapter 18, verse 14. I tell you that this man, meaning the tax collector, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector, begging for mercy, receives mercy and is justified before God. The Greek word translated justified means, literally means, to be declared righteous. It's a judicial term. Justified, judicial term, means declared righteous. Now, recall parables. Parables are stories. Parables are stories using earthly things to describe heavenly truths in a manner, hopefully, we come to understand heavenly truths. So now we're going to pull in from Psalm 5 a little bit here. Psalm 5, verses 1 through 3, for the director of music, for flutes, meant to be played, accompanied with flutes, and it's a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Jumping down to a portion of verse 5. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. What was the Pharisee's attitude? It most definitely was arrogant. So Psalm 5, the arrogant cannot stand in your presence. Now jumping down Psalm 5 to starting at verse 7. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence will I bow down. What was the attitude of the tax collector? Not willing to look to heaven, but looking down and crying out. There was reverence being expressed there. In reverence I will bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Your righteousness, Lord, lead me. Because of my enemies, make straight your path before me. A psalm of David written to be accompanied by flutes, coming to the Lord God in prayer with deep sighing, crying for help, coming to the Lord's house in reverence, bowing down, seeking to be led by the Lord's righteousness. Which of the two in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector actually came in a manner that Psalm 5 describes, to the Lord's house? Certainly not the Pharisee. That's not the manner David described in his psalm. It wasn't the Pharisee. It was the tax collector. The tax collector Jesus had in his parable. Now we're going to dig into Psalm 5, verse 7 a little bit more. And here we find that it's in the multitudes of God's mercy, God's loving kindness, God's goodness, that we're even able to enter the Lord's house and bow down. The Hebrew word is chesed, oftentimes translated as grace, chesed. Bible scholar Daryl Bach describes chesed in this manner. Chesed is wrapping up in itself all the positive attributes of God: love, covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty. In short, acts of devotion and loving kindness that go beyond the requirement of duty. Chesed. It's all the goodness of God being expressed towards us. It's another way to look at it. It's God's act of loving devotion to us. And that loving devotion is what draws us, which brings us into the house of the Lord. And it's by the Lord's great love that we can even enter into the house of the Lord, come into the presence of God. It's God's tenderness of love for us that bids us to come and reverently worship Him. The abundance of love God has for us bids us to respond in worship of Him alone. Isaiah 54, verse 10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love, that cassette, for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Now, taking that back, we're going to return to the parable. The Pharisee, full of arrogance, full of self-conceit, is not seeking nor responding to God's loving kindness. The tax collector came seeking God's loving kindness, that is, seeking only mercy, that chesed of Moses and the prophets wrote about. The sinner, beating his breast, not daring to look up towards heaven, beating his breast, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. One standing on his own, doing his own thing, and the other coming to only seek what the Lord God can do. Consider this. Really consider this. I'm going to say it a couple of times so it can sink in. Consider this. All religions are about works, about what you do to be made acceptable. It's about what you do to make acceptable. That's all religions. You do it to be made acceptable. The faith of the church is about what Christ has done. You see the big difference. All other religions are about you doing something to be made acceptable. The faith of the church is about what Christ has done. And Christ's finished work on the cross is what makes you acceptable, what justifies you. The faith of the church is about the finished work of Christ on the cross as propitiation, the atoning sacrifice through His blood Jesus willingly shed on the cross that purchased and redeemed through the forgiveness of sins. Do you see the vast difference? Religions are about you doing something to be made acceptable. The faith of the church is about what Christ has done. And His work on the cross is what makes you acceptable in the presence of God. Let's get back to the parable. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness. That's why Jesus told the parable. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Those confident of their own righteousness. It's seen as the Pharisee, and it doesn't work. Confident in your own righteousness doesn't work. There is no righteousness innate in us. There is no intrinsic righteousness in you, in me, or in anyone. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. There is no innate righteousness in us. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? No, not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. All alike under sin. We are sinners. We, you, me, each one here is, as the tax collector said, the sinner. Can you see yourself as the sinner? Each one here, each one hearing these words, each one is the sinner. All alike under sin. Being under sin, there is no work, no work we can do to become righteous. It is not possible. As the Pharisees tried and tried and tried, and as the Apostle Paul knew from a lifetime of trying when he was Saul the Pharisee, it is written in Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin." Writing to Philippians, Paul writes, chapter 3, Philippians 3, starting at verse 9, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." There is no righteousness by observing the law, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which is through faith in Christ. It must come from outside of us. It must come from the Lord, a righteousness from God. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 21 through the first part of verse 25. "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood." God's loving kindness, the Lord's compassion and mercy for us, for each one of us, all known as the sinner. Redeeming grace. Redeeming grace is freely offered through Christ Jesus, through faith. Through faith. Repent and believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The cry of the tax collector in the parable was heard. Jesus said, Luke 18, verse 14, "I tell you, this man," meaning the tax collector, "this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God." And justified means, again, declared righteous by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. "It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our holiness. Christ is our redemption. Christ's finished work on the cross brought all this about. All came from the Lord God's covenantal loving kindness. Those who humble themselves and acknowledge how truly sinful each one is as the sinner, acknowledge how sinful you truly are before God in humble reverence. Come to know the true meaning of "I am the sinner." The grace of God will declare you as righteous before God. Not your righteousness, but Christ's righteousness in you. It's the love of God that bids you to come and worship. It's the love of God that reaches out to you in the depths of your sorrow and in your pain. The love of God hears your cries for mercy, your cries for compassion, and the Lord God answers your cries with giving you what is needed most, Christ's righteousness in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. As this parable teaches heavenly spiritual truth, the tax collector went home justified, that is, declared righteous before God. After this time, in the Lord's house, reverently worshiping before the Lord God in worship, go home today with the full assurance you are declared righteous before God. That's what this means. You are declared righteous before God through the finished work of Christ on the cross. It's not what you do, it's what Christ has done. Recognize this. Recognize in you resides Christ's righteousness through grace by faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. So take in the spiritual truth of this parable. The sinner, which you are also declared righteous, justified before God, because Christ's righteousness is in you by grace through faith. Live that out now in the fullness of what it means. The righteousness of Christ is in you. Let those chains fall off that you feel you have to do something to be right before God. And just receive the loving kindness of God that bid you to come to worship today. Receive that loving kindness of God that says, my son has done it all. And because of Christ's work on the cross, I declare you forgiven, declare you righteous. You are justified by grace through faith. Take that in and live free in Christ, because Christ's righteousness is in you. Amen and amen.